I was walking to the West Side Highway with my dog. His leash was like extending the sidewalk, and then she was like, "Move your fucking dog." And I have like a bad quality where I'll just immediately be like, "Oh, really, bitch?" You know?
Oh my gosh.
But I use more, and so we just like expletive. I just, I don't know why.
More what?
I'm just like,
worse than
like,
that?
You fucking crazy cunt. Like, really? No. Yeah, I just, I go right to cunt. No. Yes.
Welcome back to Working It Out. That is the voice of Chloe Fineman. That's a little snippet from the middle of the episode in the slow round. That is such a funny story. Chloe Fineman is an amazingly funny and talented cast member on SNL. This episode is one of my faves. It's just so darn funny. There's a lot happening. The show starts on Broadway this week. The Old Man in the Pool, a show that that you've been a part of all through over 84 episodes with many guests and across the country and around the world and in outdoor shows and virtual shows, is culminating at the Vivian Beaumont Theater at Lincoln Center. If you are having a hard time finding affordable tickets, which I understand, the website is a little odd in terms of how it directs you to super expensive tickets. Here's what I recommend. On Telecharge, if you go to the seating charts, there's some $44 seats or $48 seats, and the seats are all great. The sight lines are incredible in this theater. The other thing is, on TodayTix, there's, I want to say, like, tickets in the 30s, 40s, and 50s through the holidays, through Christmas. So there's just, if you're frustrated with how expensive the tickets are, just like fish around a little bit, go on TodayTix, get the TodayTix app. I was doing it myself last night because I was trying to understand it. And that's certainly where I'm going to send Joe Birbiglia to buy tickets. No. But I'm so excited about the show. It's so cool. The design of the set by Beowulf Barrett and the lighting design and the projections, all these things that are really, really amazing, we're all super proud of. And if you're on my Instagram, you might notice that I just announced I play a small role in a beautiful film that Tom Hanks stars in called A Man Called Otto. It comes out over Christmas. I highly recommend that. It's like a beautiful, heartwarming film. And then I'm in a music video that I've known about for a long time, but I've kept secret, and that's on my Instagram as well. And that's super, super fun and exciting. Today, we are joined by Chloe Fineman. Chloe is just a wildly talented person. In addition to being this incredible cast member on SNL who does amazing impressions, she's in Noah Baumbach's film White Noise that comes out this fall, which with Greta Gerwig and this incredible cast. I mean, Noah Baumbach's movies are, I think, just some of my favorite films of all time. And so I'm thrilled that she's in that. I can't wait to see it. She and I reference how we're about to do a benefit for the NRDC, the Natural Resources Defense Council, an organization I think is amazing. She works out material from that performance on the show today in real time. She thinks it's going to go terribly. Spoiler alert, it went great. She killed. People loved her. And first of all, we referenced Sarah Sherman, who's also on SNL. If you haven't listened to the Sarah Sherman episode of Working It Out, go back and listen to that. It's like four episodes ago. And also, I should point out that you might have noticed there's cursing in the cold open. It's very rare today. But there is cursing a little bit through the show today, but not super dirty. But there's cursing. So just so you know, if you have a 5-year-old and you don't want them to start saying all these words all the time, maybe this isn't for you. Enjoy my conversation with the great Chloe Fineman. As you're pulling up, I thought of you because there's construction next door. So I had to do that thing with all like movie and TV things. You have to be like, hey, are you going to keep drilling for it? Because it's loud and, you know, and the guy goes, he's Irish. He goes, it'll be about a half hour. And then I'm an amateur impressionist. You're a professional impressionist. Uh-huh. I do this thing. I immediately impersonate. Yeah. I literally go, it's going to be about a half hour to myself.
Half hour. Really? You didn't audibly do it back?
Yeah. No, but, and then he's right there.
Wow.
Do you have that? Because is that a rookie move on my part?
No. I, like, wherever I am, change my voice.
Really?
100%.
Oh, so in other words, you become the person you're talking to.
Or if I'm in London, I'm British. If I'm in France, and I'll speak English and it's bad, but I'll be like, excuse me.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I'm wondering. Yeah, like I can't help it. And then I think when I get back to here, I become like nasally and I am Jewier than I normally sound.
Interesting, but you are Jewish.
Yeah, but I'm like
you
angry.
You lean into your Jewish.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
It's really
people
funny.
From Philadelphia, like it just changes. It's crazy. It's bad.
I do that in Massachusetts for sure because I grew up in Worcester. And
okay.
Yeah, when I'm around there, I'm just like, are we going for fish? You know, it's like, what am I saying?
Right. Well, we're vessels.
Are we going to have hamburgers?
Yeah.
It's so stupid. I'm
with
like,
younger people, it's when I feel the most pathetic. Well, because
I'll
be like,
interesting.
Yeah. And they were like, no, I know, like literally, you know, and I know. I feel older than everybody this year. This is the year where I'm woman now.
Because it's your third year on the show?
Well, I'm 34, but I've always identified as 27. But now I feel like
I've always identified as
I really have, like, since 10, just like 20, like early, mid-20s. And now I'm older than everybody.
I get that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah.
So
everyone's younger.
I've always looked about 40. And now I'm 44, and I'm like, great.
You're 40.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It caught up with me. But did you always feel like like a younger person looking up to other people? And now you look like you're an older person who needs to mentor other people coming up?
I'm not going to do it.
I'm not going to do it.
I'm just not. Famously, my first great Halloween costume in kindergarten was to be a little lady. So I've been dying to be an adult since a very young age.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was a young adult for Halloween.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I just wore, like more mature child's clothing.
Did you do, like a middle-aged woman voice when you did that part?
I was just like, they were like, what are you? And I was like, a little lady. Like, I'm a young adult. I just wanted to be a teen. Like, I always wanted to just be 10 years older than I was. I don't know why.
Oh, my gosh. And then you, on Letterman, you did, like, bird calls?
Yeah.
And that's, like, your TV debut?
Like, that was so gross. I was like, yeah. You. I grew up in Berkeley and then my parents moved to like bougier Bay Area with like traditions.
There is bougier Bay Area?
And to me,
like
Berkeley's
Marin
not.
Marin or something?
Yeah, like Marin next to Berkeley. Like the Marin of the East Bay.
Oh, okay.
And they have traditions.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Biotech dad did better.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. They didn't want to be in Berkeley. And so there's like it's been going on for like, I don't know, 60, maybe 100 years, this bird calling contest.
Oh, so that's like a big thing.
It's like a tradition. Yeah. And then everyone does like sketch comedy.
Right.
And then if you have a skit that's funny with your bird call, then you're flown to Letterman.
Oh my God. No way.
Yeah. And we didn't win, me and my friend.
And you did a peafowl.
Yeah, whoa.
I looked it up. Is that what it is?
Yeah. That was before I went, and then my friend went, and that was our call.
When you do that, I'm like, I should quit comedy.
Wait, I can teach you something that I learned.
Okay,
Because it was scary to do the bird call, but this is a turkey. You just go like, take your hand and just go.
Yeah, that's it. That's
Yeah, that's what someone. Yeah, there you go. You just did it.
It's fun, actually. I will say, having a 7-year-old daughter is fun for just that kind of silliness.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Because you can just do silly bird calls and this and that.
And then they laugh and they laugh.
And you don't fear failing.
Right.
Because kids don't fear failure, really. They're like the ultimate improvisers. I mean, they fear failure,
you
but
sound
in a
like,
different
you
way.
You sound just like my dad.
Oh, really? Does he say something like that?
He's like, improv is my religion. That's his new.
Does he improvise?
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Since I was a small child, every Saturday at the Fort Mason Center in San Francisco. I don't know
You've
why
gotta
I have the cameras
kidding
on.
Me.
Oh, yeah. As he's gotten older, it's his religion now, which is a crazy thing to say.
It's funny because that's. It's not a religion for me, but I definitely think like the most I've learned from anything is learning the rules of improv.
Yeah. He did it when I was a little kid, when my mom was pregnant with my sister. I went to my dad's improv class and would, like, run on stage. But then now he was going alone, but, like, is so attached to my mom. He was, like, manipulating her to also go to improv, but she's a painter and really, like, introverted. And to her, it was hell.
Yeah.
But then she finally got into it because she had a depression with her paint. All her paintings were black, supposedly. I don't know. Yeah. That's how she shows depression. She's like my waspy mom.
Yeah.
And now she's painting and hilarious.
Oh, my God.
And then my dad does this gross, it's cute, but to me it's disgusting, where he'll be like, your mom was so funny in improv today.
Oh, my God. Like,
you should have seen this when your mom did.
I can't take this.
Yeah. So they go, sometimes they were going twice a week. Now it's, I think, mostly Saturdays. But there's a period, they're both retired. And this is what they do.
It's so funny because it's like the quintessential inverse of sort of me and a lot of other comedians who's mm-hmm. like, my dad was a doctor, my mom right. was a nurse. And so me being a comedian was just like true disappointment.
Right.
And with you, it's like your parents are improvisers and painters.
Painter,
and
they're improviser.
Like, what are you going to do, Chloe?
Yeah, I had to do something creative.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Did you feel pressure too? For real?
Well, my sister's a painter. My grandma was a painter. My grandfather was a painter.
Yeah.
I think, like, my sister and I are, I don't know, I feel like we're kind of like the Royal Tenenbaum. There's three of us. And I was a good painter, but then my sister was so much better. So then it was like, you do that psychotically, I'll do wig life. And then my older sister's
wig life.
That's what we call it.
That is so funny.
And then my older sister is like fitness. She's a competitive CrossFit.
Read this. Yeah.
Yeah. So it really reminds
me of,
she's
like a well-known CrossFit person.
Yeah. She's crushing it in the community. I think she was fifth this year.
Whoa.
In the world for her age group. Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So I found you, your comedy through Instagram, because Jack Antonoff, who we're mutually friends with, is awesome, and was literally like at lunch one day, like he showed me, he goes, it was you doing Greta Gerwig. This is before you got SNL. Mm-hmm. It was you doing Greta Gerwig. And it was like, I have a lot of questions on this. First of all, so then I was like, I was following you, and then you got SNL, and so then I felt like I was part of, even though we didn't know each other, I was like, part of the journey.
The journey.
I was on the journey with you. Do you have a lot of people like that who are excited that they followed you before you got on?
Yeah, I think, like, I don't really get stopped on the street that much. Ooh, woe is me. But when I do, it's usually like, I was following you before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the from
cool.
the first they had the first album.
Yeah. Yeah, that feels like special. And then I always am like, what it could have been if I just kept doing that. But oh well. Here we are now.
What do you think it would have been?
I don't know. It's like this weird thing where internet's so important and on the show we're also doing internet. I don't know.
I know.
I'm grateful. I like my life.
You're like the first generation though of people who are cast on SNL from being online.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
But it's kind of phenomenal in a way. Because in some ways it's like, it actually is the Olympics of comedy.
Right.
In a certain way. Like there is a democratization of comedy where it's like, if you're good enough on Instagram and your friend is showing you at lunch, you gotta see this Greta Gerwig impression.
Yeah.
Like, you win.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that seems pretty fair.
Yeah, I hope. I don't know. It did help, I think, get on the show. When the first time I met Lauren, the first thing he said to me was, so what's with the Instagram?
Oh, my God. What's with the Instagram?
And I was like, what is Instagram? I think I misunderstood and I, like, explained what Instagram was, which is crazy. I just saw behind you it says 100 penises plus 100 vaginas.
Yeah, no. It's a very sophisticated operation we're running around here. No, I have all my cards on the wall of, like, jokes that 100 pieces, 100 vaginas actually is in the Old Man in the Pool show that you saw in Los Angeles.
When was... Now I'm trying
to... The YMCA pool memory.
Oh, 100 penises,
yes.
And 100 vaginas. Okay,
context. So, yeah, exactly.
Okay, yep, I got it.
So, I was thrilled when you came to Mark Taperform in Los Angeles.
It was
like, super fun. And then it, we like hung afterwards outside for a while, and then it became almost like it was like a talk back. Yeah. It was like a little press conference.
Yeah.
Like people just started shooting questions at me. We were right by the fountain.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Irish guy, I asked the guy out front how long he was going to drill for, and he was like, oh, about a half hour. And then I'm thinking, about a half hour. And then I was like, thinking about impressions, and it's like, am I, with like the discussion of cultural appropriation right now, it's like, am I allowed to do Irish?
100%. It's all you have.
Because I'm Irish and Italian?
No, yeah, I'm just like, when people are like, obviously the big no's are like, well, I'm not even going to say them. They're so obvious. But then the few, like, Italian, I don't know.
You can't do a Latino or a black character, probably, right?
Yeah, and I think, like, gender stuff, I'm really sensitive to.
Right, you wouldn't play a gay character.
Yeah, like when JoJo Siwa decided to come out, I was like, oh great.
But
I'm so sensitive to it. It's probably fine. I think I'm just, like, yeah, sensitive to it.
Right.
But Italian, for someone to say I can't be Italian is crazy. That's all I have. I'm like a white. Look at how white I am. I'm so blonde.
Right.
I have like four things I can do.
I have like four things I can do. You know what I always do as like to hedge is if I'm doing, I'll be telling a story, because a lot of it is storytelling, right? Like it's like I was in France and then someone said to me like, oh, excuse me, you know, and you're like, what I say is like, I'm going to do a bad French accent.
Yeah, I do that pretty much with everything. Yeah. This is terrible, but I'm not stopping.
But you're like the best of the best, and you still say that.
Oh, I'm not the best. I think I have a few that I'm proud of, and then a lot I'm like, oof.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of? I mean, what just came to mind, I am proud of my Meryl Streep.
I know. I actually ran it.
Because that took me a long time to find it.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. But I did my college essay on her. So I've watched hundreds of hours of that woman, that star.
So I met Meryl Streep a few years ago because I was hosting the DGA Honors.
Amazing.
And they were honoring Ang Lee. Sigourney Weaver gave that. And then Meryl Streep gave it for Anne Roth, one of the greatest, if not the greatest costumer of all time.
And hilarious person.
Very funny person.
We worked.
Anne Roth. Holy cow.
Yeah. I didn't know exactly who she was. And I'm in White Noise, Noah Baumbach's latest movie.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
no one's
going to
know it's me because Noah was like, for whatever reason, was like, bring a wig. And I didn't know if he was joking.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And so I brought a wig, and Anne was like, I think that's adorable. I think that's great. And so I wore my own wig in the movie.
That's so cool.
Yeah, but she was really funny.
Oh, Anne Roth is hilarious. And actually, we should give shout out to Anne Roth.
Yeah.
Works on all of Noah Baumbach's movies.
Yeah.
And Devil Wears Prada and like many of the great movie costuming movies.
She's like, she reminded, I had teachers like her, just like cut, they're all cut from this like magical kind of like down here.
Yeah.
Genius cloth. I loved being around her.
I want to say she's 90 years old.
Easily, yeah. I think this was maybe her last, unless she's doing another one. I don't know.
You're in White Noise?
Yeah.
I'm so excited about that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming out this fall?
I think it's premiering. I did ADR for it 2 days ago. I think it's premiering on the 30th here.
No, Baumbach is like one of my favorite film directors of all time.
Yeah, it was great.
Is that the direction you're going, which is like acting in serious films or serious comedic films?
I find myself doing the things I always wanted to do. I was like a drama major. I wanted to do classical theater.
Yeah.
And then really like wound up.
Right. You went to Tisch.
Yeah. Tisch. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I was good. I was really good. Yeah. Yeah. I was like Chekhov, baby, tears for days. And then just like slipped, really had a hard time trying to have a career as an actor. So I think like, what I get excited about is like these fancy little things, like a Noah Baumbach.
Yeah.
And I find like the last, I don't know, ever since I've gotten been on SNL, a lot of people will introduce me or be like, oh, I met somebody who said, you're actually really good.
Oh my God, that's so you know? Funny. Like, you're actually really
yeah,
good.
Like, or so-and-so knew you in college and like said you were like really good, you know? And,
that's so cool, though. I love that that seems seemingly like...
I peaked, is what I'm saying.
It's not that you peaked. Knowing that you have this background in dramatic acting makes me so excited because I find that like sometimes like my favorite people on SNL, they get done with it and then they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
It's like this odd...
I know.
It's this mega showcase
yeah.
for a really specific skill.
Thing. Yeah.
And then they get off and then you're and then you're like, oh, you can only do the skill and there's not like another show.
Right. Yeah, that's what's like scary about the... I think that's why I'm trying to do these little...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's great.
Yeah. It is like a... But then some people do... I think a lot of people have really figured it out in a huge way.
When you were working with Noah,
mm-hmm.
is Greta's in it, right?
Yeah.
So...
So then... This is true. This is okay. I'm at this.
Greta Gerwig is in White Noise, which I knew.
Yes, and she's like the most wonderful,
amazing,
lovely,
amazing.
And we talked about Timothée. We had this like great conversation. And there's no cell phones on set. That's like
yes,
which I really like. I
tip
read.
Of the cap.
Yeah,
same,
it was
don't
like
think twice is the same thing.
It kind
no,
of changed,
no cell phones.
Changed my life. But then after meeting Greta, I like was like, what if what I have on my phone is like I don't know what I said. And then I like went. I grab my phone and hit in the bathroom just to, like, make sure.
What do you mean?
I just worry about, like, upsetting someone, you know? Like, the impression I have of her on my phone is somehow says something possibly that could be misconstrued as offensive. So I went, and it wasn't. I was fine. But just, like, that's the panic.
Right. When you talk to Greta, she ever ask you to do the impression for her?
I don't think she knows I do the impression.
No way.
Yes way. That's why I hid in the bathroom. And did, like, I don't know, what's that called? Like, quality control?
You know we're going to release this to the world,
she's
right?
She's fine. She can watch it. It's fine. It could easily be I can work on it and make it better for her.
This is great.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know. I don't know. I've never done it on the show.
Will you do it right now? And then we'll
like,
put this together.
I was just sort of like, yes. It's so wonderful being... Mike Birbiglia is... it's just in a lot of like... hand
oh my God.
Shape. I think
so,
in the video, I go like, Noah Baumbach, yes.
Oh,
and,
my God.
But it was fine.
Is anyone get mad about the impressions?
I've gotten notes from somebody and I...
I've gotten notes.
I did get a note, but I cannot name... I'll tell you after the pod... in the DMs of like, it's a little bit more like this, a little less this.
From the person?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
But in their defense, found it helpful.
Oh, really?
Impression was much better.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
When Sarah Sherman was on, she called the Please Don't Destroy Folks.
Boys?
Please Don't Destroy Boys.
She says the Please Don't Destroy Boys.
Yeah, was that real?
You know, multiple people refer to them as the Please Don't Destroy Boys.
Okay.
The Please Don't Destroy Boys. Yeah.
Do you think the boys are men?
They're definitely... they're men inside of boys.
Yeah, oh, that's a great answer.
Yeah, because I think you look at them and you're like, and they're like really hardworking and
yes.
and really competent and really smart.
Yes.
And not to be effed with.
Yeah, they're not to be effed with.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
You have a thing where you're living the dream, like literally. I mean, I made a goddamn movie about this, about how like being on SNL is like the dream job.
Mm-hmm.
How do you... live in the moment when you're doing the exact thing that you wanted to do?
Well, it's hard. I don't know. I think, like, I think about watching, like, because I am in my 30s, SNL on VHS with, like, my childhood friends when we'd have sleepovers.
Sure.
And, like, that's when it feels really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I never saw myself ever on the show. And I think a lot of people don't see themselves on the show who are on the show.
Really?
Yeah, I ask this question. Yeah, maybe there's like a few who are like born to be here.
So you think like, for example, like Bowen or Sarah, like they didn't think about being on SNL.
Or maybe they say they, but they clearly did. But the comment, I'm sure they, I don't know.
Or the Please Don't Destroy Boys.
Those probably were like, I am genetically made in a lab to work on this show.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just remember like last year having a conversation and like none of us were like ever thought we'd be on the show.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think once I moved to LA and like started doing Groundlings, then I was like, I have to be on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was.
That's when the shift occurred.
Yeah, I like went crazy, and I was like, I'm on. You know, I think I wrote myself a check because Jim Carrey
did that.
Yes, I did. I'm woo woo.
And so, in case the listeners don't know, Jim Carrey famously,
it's so cringy.
Famously, wrote himself like a check for like $5 million or something. I might get the number amount wrong.
I think
wrong,
it was 10.
Yeah, and it was like, and it was like a check to himself, and then like, and then he did make $10 million mm-hmm. doing a movie. And it's just like, it's such a bizarre story, but also like, did you write yourself a check?
I was doing. This is so crazy. It's so LA. I had a boxing teacher. Australian woman. Taught me boxing, and okay. She was like, you need to write, and was also like life coachy, as a lot of like fitness people in LA are. And she's like, you need to write yourself a check.
No way.
And then I like wrote, I don't know, like 100. She's like, more. And then I only wrote 1 million because I was like, I don't know how much they pay.
Oh my God.
And had it in my wallet. And maybe it's in a different wallet, but that's really embarrassing.
I don't think I've told people that. I love that though.
Yeah. It's such an unbelievable job to get. It's so, you're like blessed by above. I don't know.
There is something about, so Larry Wilmore was on the podcast recently and he used the phrase putting it out there. And mm-hmm. like, you know, I think it's a pop idea. It's a pop culture idea of like mm-hmm. putting it out there and then maybe it'll come true. And in his case, it did for like a ton of things.
Right.
In your case, it did. But it's like,
yeah,
you're not wrong.
No.
It worked for Jim Carrey. It worked for Larry Wilmore.
Yeah.
Worked for you.
Yeah. I was like that mid, I was just so lost and it was like any like pathetic, like woo-woo thing to keep me going.
When you say woo-woo, you mean kind of hippie kind of thing.
Yeah. I come from hippies.
Gosh.
Yeah. I'd also read like a Nicole Byer thing around that time where she was like, if enough people say something about you or like it's, you're going to get, like, I had a lot of people be like, you should be on the show.
Yeah.
You should. You'd be great on da-da-da. And then it, like, gave me the confidence to pursue it.
This is a thing we do called the slow round. It's, do you remember a nickname from your life that was either good or bad?
Clois Petunia.
That's the funniest one I've heard on the show.
Really?
Clois Petunia?
Yeah.
From what?
All my friends call me that.
Based on what?
Chloe's like, I've never called my name.
Okay.
I'm Chloe.
All of these are
Klobuchar,
great.
Klobuchar, Chloe Jones. Klobuchar I don't love, but I've called it a lot. Klobuchar.
Because of Senator Klobuchar?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I started becoming Klobuchar and Klobe. Chalo forever.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I love all these.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
you remember a time you were so scared you ran away?
Yes. And today it came back to haunt me.
Oh gosh.
A woman and I.
Okay.
Last fall. Both of us blondes we like Karen'd each other and we both filmed each other over our dogs.
No way.
Yeah. And today, like truly this morning, this woman saw me and like did a, basically like I have a dog, I have a Shiba Inu.
Just to be clear, you Karen'd each other basically is based on the woman who filmed the bird watcher.
Right. But this is the wrong word. Here's what happened. I was walking to the West Side Highway with my dog. He's not well trained. It's in his breed. It's not my fault. He's a Shiba Inu. And he kind of like his.
Is that one of your nicknames?
Shiba Inu?
Yeah.
You could. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. His leash was like extending the sidewalk. And then she was like, move your fucking dog. And I have like a bad quality where I'll just immediately be like, oh, really, bitch? You know.
Oh, my gosh.
But I use more. And so we just, like, expletive. I just, I don't know why.
More what?
I'm just like.
Worse than
like,
that?
You fucking crazy cunt. Like, really? No, yeah, I no, just, I go right to cunt. No. Yes. And I forget that
what are
people.
What talking about?
I swear to God. I was like, really, cunt? Like, it just falls out of, I have to work on, it's like a huge issue I have to work on.
This is wild.
And then,
this
I know, you wouldn't, ex-
this is
you wouldn't expect
this
it from
is
me.
This is explosive.
My dad's like, I don't know where it comes from. I don't know. We just yell in the bay, I don't know. So then she's like, fucking, you know, and it was like, truly like, we're in the West Village. Well, it's so beautiful.
What was the offense in the first place?
She just told me to, she was like, move your fucking dog.
Oh,
and I was like,
started it.
And then
fairness.
I said, excuse me, bitch. And then, yeah, which yeah. I shouldn't have done. And then she went crazy. And then suddenly the C word comes out. But then I had to also go to the West Side Highway. So we were in the same direction.
Right.
Then she whips out her phone and is like, you're harassing me. You're harassing
oh,
me.
No.
Which is like terrifying. And I didn't know what to do, and so I filmed her back. And it was so goofy and so stupid. I had to call, like, 10 people and say that this thing happened. And in it, you'll just see me filming this blonde woman. But I have the footage of her, and we're both blonde. Anyway, and it's me being like, you're crazy. I don't know what. And
that
was,
should be, first of all, this is a slow round, but that should be a bit eventually. Maybe you already are thinking of it as a bit.
I haven't thought about
it.
I don't know. Maybe I'll see her again and apologize.
Would you apologize?
I should apologize. It was just so...
But I don't think you should apologize. I mean, look, she threw the first punch.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, who talks like that?
When you see my dog, you'll be like, who would ever talk?
Exactly.
He's like a puppy. That's what I do. I always go, he's a fucking puppy, which
wow.
I shouldn't do. It's like I get very protective of my dog. I thought it was hilarious. A lot of people were like, this is going to wind up ruining you.
Right. Like TMZ, mm-hmm. Page Six.
Yeah.
Working it out.
But I ran away today to
my gosh.
Answer your question.
Do you remember a smell from your childhood?
Oh, so many. Yes. And it, my friend Erica and my friend Mimi's pair, Jewish, somehow would like have like 100 things in their freezer. And so that has a really distinct smell. And so if it had a popsicle, it would taste like everything else in the freezer.
Yep.
And then
yep.
my first boyfriend also had that same freezer
oh.
refrigerator thing. And that was sort of like, oh, you're familiar.
Yeah, it's like, is that even a smell? Like the freezer
smell
is definitely a thing.
Thing, yeah.
But what is it exactly?
I don't know. And then when it makes the other foods taste like
yes.
the smell.
Everything just smells like freezer.
Freezer, yeah.
And sort of tastes like freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
When you were a kid, do you remember any group that wouldn't let you in?
Oh. I've always been a floater.
Okay.
Like friends with.
Similar.
Yeah.
Similar.
Entertainers, what can we do?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that's a thing.
Well, you're an adapter.
Adapter,
you're
yeah.
like
and
adapting
I,
to whatever group. It's
yeah.
like the
And I have
accent.
No personality and I have to change it. Yeah.
Well, it's the accent
I'm so
thing.
Inauthentic.
Someone does their Irish and then you do your
yeah.
Irish.
Yeah. Gosh, so many.
What was the group that you were like, come on, let me into your group. Come
group.
On, it's ridiculous.
I feel like as a kid, I wanted to be a dancer, and I couldn't leap high enough. And then,
okay.
And then the teacher had to take my mom aside and explain that, like, I couldn't leap high enough. I was like, my body weight just, like, wouldn't do that, and I had to be demoted. And
oh.
then I kind of lost my dance friends.
Oh, that's tough. That is tough.
Yeah.
I'm noticing that even with my daughter, like, which kids can do dance, which
right.
kids can, which kids can do gymnastics,
yeah.
and which kids can't. It's
yeah.
tough.
Looking back, very funny to have to, like, do the test.
Oh, I know.
And leaping is, like, the dumbest physical thing. I don't know. There's something, like, so silly.
Yeah, so silly. What's the best piece of advice anyone's ever given you that worked?
In earnest?
Yeah. The whole thing's in
yeah,
earnest.
Yeah, my teacher, like, when I was, you know how I was so good in college?
Yes.
They were really betting on me, my teachers.
Yeah.
Were like, you're gonna be Nora in the Doll's House the year you graduate.
Wow.
Never happened.
Wow.
But they were like, I think I was kind of confused how to not be in college because it really was the happiest I ever was. Her whole thing was show them who you are.
Okay.
Teach them who you are. So like, because I think
everyone's so quick to like label or put you in a thing.
Sure.
You know, even with like, I'm in comedy and I have to teach people I can act or, you know.
Right.
And it's really like you have the control and the power.
Oh, that's such good advice.
Yeah. I don't know. If you want to be something, you can teach people you are that thing.
I feel like one of the biggest frustrations in life is often that the feeling of being misunderstood.
Yeah.
And so like the teaching them mm-hmm. who you are is like kind of the answer to that.
100%.
Which is like people don't, like, I know tons of artists who are like, people don't understand this about me. And I'm like, people don't understand this about me. It's right. like, well, it's kind of on me.
To teach them.
I gotta teach them.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah. I think, like acting can just be like absolute hell. Or at least I felt like it, where everyone's like, well, you're more blah.
Yeah.
Or like, well, but you're this thing.
Yeah.
And then it's like the art and the career and the beauty of that, it just like dies so quickly.
Do you ever get hung up on SNL that the, because you're an actor, you're a dramatic actor, that you're not going deep enough because you got to go so deep so fast?
Sometimes when I'm having a bad read through or I just really ate shit and I'm sleep deprived during the read, if I'm not in something for a long time, I go into like, I could have been. And I'm like, what's with all these bits? Like, no one really.
God, that's so
I'm like,
funny.
Oh, God, here we are, another little skit. And like, that's when I just like clearly haven't done enough work.
Right.
And I want to like take it down in my head.
Well, I think about that all the time when I watch the show. I'm always like, if I were on the show, I would be so frustrated all the time about the thing I just did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I had that like when I guest hosted Jimmy Kimmel Live, and I found that it was like this weird thing where I was like, oh, it goes so fast.
Yeah.
You can't even think about the thing that you just fucked up.
No. That's what, like, the beauty of how it's structured.
Yeah.
And Monday, by Monday, no one really remembers
Saturday.
How great you were on Saturday. Yeah. And I have really experienced where I've, like, crushed on a, and I walk in, like, so.
Oh, my God.
Thinking I'm going to have, like, another great week. And, like, the week after doing really well was always the worst.
What's the thing that you, reading a book, seeing a movie, seeing a play, like, what do you crave in art when you see it? What's the thing you want to see?
I mean, I really, like, love a good performance. I'm such a, I like, even just, like, The Dropout, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, drama, but it's not.
Yeah.
And it's, like, funny, but it's not.
Wait, did you do an impression of her on Instagram?
I did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can we do it or not?
What greater is there? Wait, no. What greater gift is there than achieving world peace?
Oh, my God. You actually are wildly grounded as a person to talk to her. But then when you go into the voices, it's like, what the fuck is happening?
Just like, something's broken.
So this is the sort of the working out new material section of the show, which mm-hmm. it's newly called From the Notebook.
Uh-huh.
Do you have stuff from your notebook that you're working on right now?
Yeah. I think my latest thing is for tomorrow, I do Celebrities Coming, and then I was told that might be too racy for what we're doing, which will have aired. So then prior to coming in here, I was trying to think of like gentle euphemisms for coming.
Wait, so which celebrities do you do coming?
All
or do
of
you
them,
not,
baby.
Do you want to do it or no?
Yeah, well, like for example, here's like the first one. It's like Drew Barrymore, and it's like, I'm coming.
Oh
I'm
God.
Like super
oh my God.
Coming.
Oh, my God, that's so
literally
funny.
Blowing my, you know.
Oh, my
and
God,
then,
that's so
but
good.
I don't think I can say coming in front of my
really?
Boss. Or can you? I don't know.
I think so.
Someone gave me a phone call and was like, it's way too. And then another person was like, you're fine. And trying to think of, like, another way to say coming, such a funny coming.
Who else do you do?
My favorite coming is Frances McDormand.
Okay.
It's like, okay, okay, I'm my, and then it's like,
oh
and then it goes like this. It goes, I just came.
Oh, my God. I have this thing that I'm going to do on Fallon tomorrow, which is like, because I talk about in the show that you saw, Old Man in the Pool.
Yeah.
Talk about how I had cancer when I was 20. And so ever since then, I go for my annual cystoscopy. And the thing that happens, I don't use drugs recreationally. Mm-hmm. And so when I go under anesthesia, I'm wild. I'm wild. I'm just like, this is awesome. We should do this all the time. And the anesthesiologist, I said to him, I'm in the I'm in the gown and everything, and my wife's there. And I go, so what is it that you're giving me? And he goes, propofol. And I go, oh, that's the one that killed Michael Jackson. And he goes, and Joan Rivers.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, this isn't like a yes and activity. This isn't like a who died doing what you're about to do brainstorm. Like, I'm sort of looking for like, yeah, but that Michael Jackson thing had a lot of other stuff going on. He had an amusement park in his yard.
Oh, that's so funny.
So there's that. And then there's, and then I, so I go under, and then when I come up, I'm like, I'm super high, and I'm saying to my wife, we should do this at home.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm like, we should do this at home. And she's like, all right. And then I'm like making a case for it because I'm high.
Right.
And so I'm becoming like the it's all natural drug at like music festivals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
it's from the earth.
Yeah, it's like, it's from the earth. It's from soybean. I go, I literally said this because I'd asked the anesthesiologist like what it's made of.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, it's lipids.
Oh, no.
It's just, I swear to God, it's just lipids. I don't even know what lipids are. And I'm trying to convince my, exactly. I'm trying to convince my wife, like, it's fine because it's lipids. And so, yeah, and so I'm doing that.
Can I ask an inappropriate question?
Of course, when you there is no inappropriate.
Because I remember my dad going under, and then they shaved a lot of him.
Oh, gosh.
Do they do that to you?
I've never had that.
Because he woke up high as hell and everything was shaved.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was very funny.
I think in an emergency situation, they do stuff like that.
Okay, but this
that.
Is just like a check.
This is just casual.
Casual check.
The joke I make in the show is they take a camera and they stick it through your penis to look in your bladder. I know you're thinking, Mike, a camera can't fit through a penis. Good news and bad news on that front.
Yeah.
The good news is it can. The bad news is the same as the good news. Yeah. So I'm doing that on The Tonight Show. And it's funny because, like, I mean, maybe this is showing behind the curtain too much, but it's like, you know, with talk shows, when you go on,
mm-hmm.
you have to have, like, a call with the producer
right.
where you're essentially pitching what you're going to say.
Right.
And then they choose what stuff they like.
Right.
And then...
You get there,
and they go, you're going to do this, 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 and this.
Right.
Then you have to, like, memorize your own script.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you have to memorize the thing that you actually don't even know.
Right.
And that you said on a phone call
at, like,
once.
9 a.m. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The funniest I had in the spring, or no, like, June, because I'd never done Seth, I'd never done Seth's show.
Mm-hmm. Way to change it to just Seth.
Seth. Ew. Ew, I'm brainwashed at this place. Everyone calls him Seth. I've met the man one time. Seth Meyers. Why did I do that? Everyone does that.
Yeah.
At work, it's Seth.
It's Seth. Yeah.
Because a lot of people work at Seth.
Yeah.
During the week and then come to SNL. But anyway, I had the preliminary thing and then, like, I get there and they're showing me what it's going to be. But my day was the school shooting episode day. So,
oh my gosh.
Before giving me, like, here's what you're going to do on the show, they're like, so, no big deal. Like, Jennifer Connelly backed out because Top Gun and school shoot. But, like, it's going to be great.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're going to go first. And then we have that senator
who
broke America's heart with his, like, touching speech. He's going to go after. But Seth's going to, like, do a Q&A and, like, you know, like, liven the mood. Like, he'll do his monologue and, like, that's going to make everyone cry. But then you'll come out and it'll be hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was insane. It was – and then the Q&A – so I'm standing, like, ready to go and I'm nervous. And then the Q&A is like, so what do you think we should do about gun control? Like,
no. Nothing
was funny.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about, like, how often we're in comedy situations where – the wind is not in our favor to succeed.
No, because then I was like, okay, did pretty good. And then you, like, leave, and I'm kind of like, did I do okay? And everyone's just watching the senator, you know, like give the most touching and everything. It was like death silence. It was crazy.
I had that happen And this is the life of a talk show every day. Yeah. When a guest host is for Jimmy Kimmel, it's like that it was when the leak occurred before the Roe v. Wade decision. And it was like,
oh my God.
And it was like, well, I don't even know. Like, what could I possibly say?
Right. Because you have to address America.
Yeah.
That's like the new thing with talk shows. You have to address the nation. Which I'm like, when did that start?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all, yeah.
Ay.
Lipids.
But it yeah, lipids.
It's lipids.
Yeah, it's lipids.
No, it's lipids, bro.
It's lipids, baby. It is, yeah, I find it like, I mean, SNL has to deal with like political stuff.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, with the Roe v. Wade, yeah, it's so interesting, like a punch-up room for that kind of stuff. I'm not in it because I don't write those.
Right.
But it always like blows my mind.
Whew.
Yeah.
Do you write for yourself on the show? Do you pitch stuff for yourself?
We all do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't know that going in.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Maybe wouldn't have tried so hard to get the job. No, I'm kidding. A lot of homework.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's when it's the most satisfying. But obviously you like pitch and then five geniuses make it way better.
Right.
And then you're like so grateful.
That's what Sarah Sherman was saying when she was on the show. She was like, it's so crazy to go your whole career writing for yourself and then like people start writing in your voice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this year especially. Like I think like starting, I think Sarah's year is really great. And the Please Don't Destroy Boys.
There were
like 10 new people.
Forget about it.
But it made it like way more collaborative. I feel like my first year I'd be like, there'd be like one person I could go to. Because everyone else was like dealing with the higher ups. But like the greatest gift, is when you'll be like, oh, let's do this. And then they just like give you like a perfect script. And then you're like, I don't know what to change.
Is it like, how does it compare to like working at Groundlings?
Very similar, I'd say. Yeah. Yeah. Although Groundlings, sometimes you'd do a solo write. And that would just be you on your own. And SNL, even if you write it on your own, then if it's picked, then like four people or two people will come on it, make it better, and then you'll table it with everybody.
Yeah.
So then 15 people just make it way better. It's great.
Do you ever feel like when you do table reads, do you ever feel like the laughs are wrong?
Yeah, of course.
You're like, come on.
Yeah.
That is funny.
And I will say, especially if it goes well, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
The amount of times I'm like, this is just going to kill to like nothing.
Yeah.
And then the thing I'm like, this is going to eat such shit is the thing that does well.
Melanie and I talk about it all the time with stand up is like, if you imagine laughter in your head, there will be no laughter.
There will be no laughter. Yeah. Yeah. It's like annihilating. Yeah. It really is though.
The only like true thing in comedy is if you hear laughter in your head,
right,
it will not exist.
Yeah. Yeah, especially like a like clever little wordplay thing and no one laughs and it's so painful.
I think it's because comedy is imperfect.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like you're just taking stabs in the dark with imperfect things. Mm-hmm. And then some of it clicks.
Yeah.
And you go, cool.
Right. Interesting.
I don't know.
Maybe I'll use that this year.
The thing we ended with is called Working It Out for a Cause, and we give, I donate to an organization that you think is doing a good job, and then we link to them in the show notes and encourage others to contribute.
Great.
Is there anyone you think's great?
Yeah, I really love Best Buddies.
Best Buddies?
Yeah. It's an organization that helps people who are developmentally challenged get jobs, find community, friendship.
It's bestbuddies.org.
Yeah.
This looks fantastic.
Yeah, there's like walkathons. It's awesome. I've met like wonderful people through it.
This is great. Well, I'm gonna give to Best Buddies, and I encourage folks to do click in the show notes as well. And thanks, Chloe, for coming on. You're a riot, and I just can't wait to see what you do next.
Working it out, cause it's not done. We're working it out, cause there's no.
That's going to do it for Working It Out with Chloe Fineman. Holy cow. Chloe Fineman is just a riot. You can see her on Saturday Night Live. She plays... Last week, she played Nancy Pelosi on. It was so, it's so funny. That's it's a cold open on SNL. It's so, so funny. And you can follow her on Instagram at Chloe is crazy. C-H-L-O-E-I-S crazy. Or you can see her in the film White Noise, which is on Netflix soon, the Noah Baumbach film. Our producers of Working It Out are myself, along with Joseph Birbiglia and Peter Salamone, associate producer Mabel Lewis, consulting producer Seth Barish, assistant producers Gary Simons and Lucy Jones. Sound mix by Shub Saran, supervising engineer Kate Balinski. Special thanks to Marissa Hurwitz and Josh Upfall, my consigliere Mike Berkowitz, and special thanks to Jack Antonoff and Bleachers for their music. Special thanks to my wife, the poet J-Hope Stein. Her book is called Little Astronaut. It's a book of poems. It's in bookstores right now. Special thanks, as always, to our daughter, Una, who built a radio fort made of pillows. Thanks most of all to you who are listening. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Look, it's sometimes it's hard to talk to your enemies, right? We all know that. How do you begin the conversation? But I had this thought, like, maybe stop by a local bakery, ask the baker, hey, I'd like to send a message to my enemies. Could we put on a cake in frosting? Like on the, you know, just on the cake. Just like, hey, I know we're enemies, but there's this podcast you should check out. Two creatives work out material, creative ideas, a lot of fun. Maybe that's too much writing for a cake. All right. Well, we'll work that one out next time. Thanks for listening, everybody.